Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, and God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in to our broadcast today. This is the day that the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice in it and be glad therein. Please stay tuned. Make sure you tell all your neighbors. Call them and let them know that we're on the air, that the Apostle Lonnie Starks is on the air. He has a word in his mouth that he believes that will be a blessing in to you and for you and in your life. Amen. Don't go nowhere. Remember, we do need your support to keep broadcasting on the radio. Make all donations to the Jesus Save Ministry, 509 Evergreen Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. That's TJSM 509 Evergreen Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. Or make it right there on the World Wide Web at www.tjsm.org. Click on the donation page and make your donation right there. Remember, you can email me at goldjesusnow@aol.com. You can also call me at 718-574-2244. We'd be so happy to hear from you. Also, don't forget, you can get us 24/7 at 1-213-992-4339. That's by your telephone. All right, stay tuned. Have a great day. So glad that you tuned in this morning. It's a good day that the Lord has made, and we're grateful to God for his many benefits. We're thanking him for this opportunity to get up this morning with the activities of my limbs. I was able to walk. I was able to go to the restroom. I could even get myself ready for here, and I was able to come downstairs. I'm just so grateful to God. You know, I was thinking just a moment as that song was playing, the intro song, I was thinking about how God blessed us all our lives, but we just were not aware of it. And then once you get saved, you become aware of his blessings. But even though you know you're saved and you're born again, how many know that when you really standing on God's word, there's a difference in the temptations, seem like to me, and the things that we do are tempted to do after you get saved than it was before you got saved. It was much easier. It seemed like to me I was running on, now don't nobody write me about this, but remember we used to think we were lucky. I used to think I was lucky, running through a streak of bad luck, you know, see things. But it's just a streak of bad luck. But when you get saved, you know there ain't no such thing as luck. It's God's protection and God's mercy and God's grace in your life. But how many know once you get saved and really born again, Satan turns up the heat on you, man. He goes about that from that day forward to destroy you once you get saved. I mean, when you really get saved, he does everything that he can to discourage you, to make you fall. And yesterday I talked about Job, but I'm going back into that again today. On yesterday I talked about Job, and I was dealing with the fact that Job held on with his integrity. But today I'm still going to talk about Job on this 4 a.m. broadcast. But I want to talk about it, standing on the word of God. Now, Job, to me, always inspires me. Not because he suffered, but because it seemed, though, Job suffered and didn't have not have any type of almanac to look at. He didn't have any blueprint to look at. He didn't have no schematic. He didn't have no book to read to tell him, you know, that God's going to bring you out. But he held on to his integrity, and God brought him out. Before I really knew what the word integrity meant, I used to use that word a lot. I used to say, nobody going to take my integrity. But Job held on to his with all of his friends and the various ones that was, to me, would come, or does come, because I've had them to come, to make you believe whatever you're going through is your fault. You wouldn't have no trouble if it weren't your fault. I remember I was in the church once, and this lady, this young girl died. She was about 17 years old, and she died. And I remember the pastor said, if they had contacted me, she would not have died. If they would have stayed in touch with me, because the family had just left our church, the church that I was in at the time. They had just moved from that our church and relocated to another church. And right after that, the young lady died. And so the pastor, like I said, he said, if they would have stayed with me, she wouldn't have died. See? Look at Satan blaming you for your situation. So he, in essence, he was saying to the mother, y'all killed her. If you had not left my church, you would still been living. And you guys might have experienced something like that. You know, you might have seen something like that. And I hear a lot of people, if you ever find somebody sick, you always find people that will try to associate your sickness with something you did. I remember when my problem first happened here at this church, when my wife first went out and did what she did. And then there was this lady that emailed someone, and the email address, they said, the devil had me. Good God Almighty. They said the devil had me in this church, and that's why it was happening. Well, about a month or two later, her pastor got cancer. And about 2 years later, he died. So my question is, if the devil had me, and that's the reason the trouble happened over here, who had him and why did he die? If they were so holy and so righteous. You know, I'm not throwing no bricks this morning. I'm just saying to you, you've got to know God for yourself and not allow other people to come and get up under your skin and make you start feeling guilty for the things that you're going through. Now, that was a very low blow to send word to tell another member you should leave that church because the devil has your pastor and y'all church, right? That was a very low blow to me. And I got the email. I saw the email. I read the email. I still have it. The devil had me, and that's the reason my wife did what she did, and that's why we was going to suffer a little bit. Well, like I said, it wasn't long. Her pastor that she said was so holy got cancer. And 2 years later, he was dead. But I wonder who had them, if the devil had me. And that was the reason I had trouble. Well, what made him get cancer? Well, I submit to you, I don't believe the devil made him get cancer. I don't believe God would allow the enemy to just come in and just give you things. I think that things happen. And you can't associate everything that happened to someone. I mean, life is life. We live every day. Praise the Lord, our God. Don't let the devil tell you, well, you're losing your house because you lived in sin. That's not necessarily true at all. Even though you know sin is not good. Sin is overstepping the mark. Sin is an offense to God. Sin will take you to hell. We knew all of that. But don't take every sickness you have, every downfall you have in life, and start blaming yourself. And that's what I like about Job. He didn't blame himself. Even though it happened, but Job didn't blame himself. And to me, that's very important for a man or woman, to at least keep your integrity and know who you are. Don't let nobody come and swindle you and make you believe you're sick because you did this and you did that. Nah, man, you're sick because it happened. It just happened. There are people dying all the time. You how many times you go to sleep and you wake up the next day and you read the newspaper, oh, such and such one died. Well, you can't blame that the person that they died. How about when someone born? About if you're going to start blaming like that, you need to start saying when you hear of a newborn baby born, you ought to be able to say then, well, she's born because someone did this. Well, she's born because someone had sex. That's the reason why. But you don't start blaming somebody every time there's a problem. And you certainly don't care or let other people blame you. Because if you let them take you to the blame game, you'll get to the place that you blame yourself for everything. Why you want to blame yourself for everything? I mean, there's certain things that we induce, but there are certain things that we have nothing to do with. It just happened. And if you go around blaming yourself that I'm losing my house because of this, I'm losing my marriage because of this, come on now, you got to get up out of this. Look, you're greater than that. You're much greater than that. Don't let the devil make you believe nothing like that. You are greater than that. You are much more powerful than that. You're more wiser than that. You can't let the devil have you thinking that, okay? Let's go to the scripture. Amen. I'm going to go to the scripture in just a minute here. Yeah, let's go in here to King James. Well, actually, my thought this morning is, let's put that on the screen. My thought this morning is, let's go to that, right? Let's go to the thought this morning. Standing on the Word of God. That's my thought. Standing on the Word of God. And I do mean stand. That means nothing else. Don't let anybody or anyone cause you to doubt God's Word. When I mean stand, that means trust His Word. Believe His Word. Stand on His Word. That's what I mean stand. I mean that don't be disrupted by commotion and situations. Don't let nobody maneuver you or manipulate you to believe that God's word has lost power. Now let's look at this in Job. Job chapter 19. Now, I spoke about it yesterday, but today I want to just look at it again. And Job chapter 19, verse number 25. The word of the Lord reads like this from the King James Bible. Remember, if you guys are home with your computer, you can always go into livestream.com /TJSMORG and view it live, and your scripture will be on the stream. Or you can just go to my website, www.tjsm.org, and click on Jesus Save Around the Clock, and all my scriptures will be on the stream with you, okay? And you can view it live. Okay, Job chapter 19, verse 25, the word of the Lord. Father, bless your word, bless me, bless the audience that we all may hear, and give us an understanding where we can apply it to our lives, and let your word bless us as you intended for it to do, in Jesus' name. And Job chapter 19, verse number 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. That was some tremendous faith that Job had. I mean, to me, when I look at it, because, you know, Job did not have no guidelines. There was not any books written at that time to let him know that a Savior was coming. Jesus Christ had not been incarnated in the flesh. He had not taken a body and came to earth. As it says in John, he was not, he had not tabernacled yet. The word tabernacle in John, the third chapter, the word dwell means tabernacle. Now, so Jesus hadn't tabernacled. What it means is, by tabernacle, he had not pitched a tent. The word dwell means like pitch a tent. So what God had not done, God had not sent his word to earth and pitched a tent in it. That's why Jesus is a walking, talking tabernacle. That's another whole story. So Job did not have that. He didn't have that knowledge. All he had was he knew what God had spoken to him in his heart. And he was standing on that. And there comes some times in our lives, if you live long enough, you're going to find out that you're going to have to rely on what God spoke to you in your heart. You have to stand on that. You can't rely on anything else. God's going to speak to you, and you're going to have to trust him. Depend on him. Okay, let's look at something. In verse 26, Job says in verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. In essence, Job was saying, I know the devil's trying to kill me. I know it looked like I'm dying, and I may even die. I may lose my life. My body may deteriorate to the point that worms eat me up. I may come to that place. But he said, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So in essence, it seems to me that Job would be saying, although I am sick, although I do get worse, although this disease, this sickness that I've incurred, that's in my life, shall eat me up, I shall dwindle away. But my faith is that God's going to put me back together. That God's going to put me back together. Because it said, though after my skin worms destroy this body, said, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So if he's telling you that the worms destroy the body, he has to have faith in that God's going to bring the body back together. So Job's total confidence was in that God was going to be who he said he was, and nothing or no one could change that. And to me, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing to believe that God is who he is. And don't doubt God. That's a beautiful thing. That when you get to the place that you don't doubt God on any situation. Verse 27 said, Job says this now, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Now, let's think about that for a moment of time there. Job said, whom I shall see for myself. Job had an awful lot of confidence. And I'll tell you, when I look at me, my life is nothing. My faith is nothing. It's not, I'm not a speck of, I don't have a speck of confidence that Job had. You know, and that's why I ask God to help me in my unbelief, help me in my weakness, because this is such a tremendous act of faith to have the audacity to say it. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold. Now, you just made a statement that the skin worms may eat you up and all of that. Now you're making another step. You're saying, I shall see God, the Redeemer. I shall see him, and my eyes shall behold him. In other words, no one had told Job about the resurrection, but Job was so confident. He was cool, calm, and collect, y'all. He wasn't worried about a thing, even though his wife, his friends, his family had gone, sickness had come, a disease, disasters had come. But Job was locked in his confidence in God. It was locked in that God was going to take care of him, that he would see God, and he would see him with his own eyes, and he'd behold God himself. Said, whom I shall see for myself. Job, in essence, if you look there, Job was even talking about the resurrection in the book of Job. In other words, God's going to resurrect me. God's going to make me over. God's going to make me, no matter what goes on. Job was completely standing on the word of God. Then he said, though my reins be consumed within, though they be consumed with it, even though, good God from Zion, if that Job wouldn't have some confidence, I tell you, I ask God to help me in my faith that I could believe. I just wish I could believe and stand on the word of God like Job did. Yes, I'm nothing when it comes down to, I try to stand. I try to stand, I really do. I try to hold on. But Job hadn't, I have the Bible to look at. I have Job's life to look at. I can read about Abraham. I can read about Jacob, Isaac. I can read about Isaiah. I can read about Hezekiah. And I can read about the blind man and the woman with the issue of blood. And all of those circumstances and those stories always bless me and gives me faith that if God did it for them, he can do it for me. Then I read about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, how though he was crucified and buried in a borrowed tomb, and they placed him in a grave and counted him out, but on the third day morning, Jesus had risen from the grave. So I have all that. And even with all of that, let me tell you something. Sometimes I can notice that my faith get weak. With all of all that God has left on record for me, I'm talking about Lonnie Stocks, I'm not talking about you, I find that sometimes my faith get weak. I was speaking with someone on the phone last evening, and we got into this thing about, I was talking about Job, of course, and they went into a spiritual concept of Job. And they said the reason they went through blah, 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 blah. But let me tell you something. I heard a message preached a few weeks ago that really turned a light on in my head. Because have you ever noticed every time something happened to us, we mostly always say, why did it happen to me? Do you know that's a type of idolatry? To be saying, why did it happen to me? Why did you do me like this? Why did you treat me this way? If your wife left you, always, why did she do this? If your husband left me, why did he do this to me? It would have been okay if it would have been someone else. Isn't that a type of idolatry? To always, you'd rather for it to be someone else than you. That's a type of idolatry. And I was telling that person that last night, and they didn't seem like they want to hear it, but it's okay. I'm just telling you that sometimes I get to ask them those same questions. God, why me? Lord, why did it happen to me? You know, why did my wife do this? Why did my son do this? I have a son that's 40, what is that boy? That boy's 47 years old. Went to college, and I say, boy, he's a man, but finished college and everything, and he's a drug addict. You know, why? Why, Lord? He was my this was my pet son, so to speak. He has my name. He has my name. He has my father's name. He has his grandfather's name. He has my name, Lonnie, just same as mine. And that was my father's name. And his grandfather's name on his mother's side was Ardell. And so he has his grandfather's names. He has my father's first name and his mother's father's second name, because his middle name was Ardell. So my son's name is Lonnie Ardell. Now, how do you think when it happened, when I lo and behold discovered that my son, was on drugs? When my son went to college, I was so proud of him, and I even had him a telephone put in school. I mean, I did all I could for him. And yet he went and got on drugs. Then you begin to ask yourself, God, why me? Why? Why? You know what? We saints, we need to stop just worrying about that and just stand on the word of God. Just know, just have confidence, God, regardless why. It's not important why. It's important to know that you are with me. It's important to know that God's going to bring me through it. Whatever you are experiencing today, let me tell you what's more important than anything else, is to have the confidence that God is with you in this ordeal and God is going to bring you through it, regardless what the end going to be. Because in the end, you have to know that you're going to stand before God. Job says here, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another. Though my reins be consumed within, Job was completely confident that God was going to take care of him. My God, this is such a faith walk with God, and I thank God for it. Amen. God, thank you for helping me, because I have had those days myself. I've had those days, not doubt, but I had them days of pity partying. Oh, God, why me? Oh, God, why me? Oh, God, why me? Well, why couldn't it be me? Why is it, do you always want it to be someone else? And I'm not saying that you shouldn't feel, you don't want it to happen. You should feel that way. But at the same time, stand on the word. Trust God, and when you don't see no light. You know, I used to teach, this was many years ago, some of my members that's listening to me remember, I used to teach, if you wake up in the morning and you have no bread on the table, no money in your pocket, no money in the bank, you should have enough faith in God. And I believe if we would have that faith, God would honor it. We should be able to get up and go to the grocery store and order a pound of this and a pound of that and 12 eggs or whatever, and trust God enough to know that when you stick your hand in your pocketbook, the money will be there to pay for it. I mean, Jesus Christ told Peter to go to the sea, and the first fish that he catched, take the gold out of his mouth and go pay their taxes. If we really, really trusted God, we wouldn't worry. I mean, come on now. I know you say, well, Pastor Stocks, you're getting super religious. I'm not religious at all. I'm just born again because I don't believe in religion. Anything can be religious. You can start worshiping a stump. That's religious. I'm not religious. I trust Jesus Christ. I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood of the crucified one. So I'm not religious at all. I mean, that's a false statement. And I rebuke that. I don't receive that. I'm just born again, washed in the blood of the crucified one. And that's my confidence that he's going to take care of me. And I believe that we should have that same confidence. He said, but ye should say, we persecute. Why persecute we him? That's Job said. Instead of you guys finding fault in me, you should be finding fault in yourself. Why are you trying to make this man believe that it's his fault that his sons died, that his children died, that he lost his cattle and his stock, his livestock? Why are you trying to make him believe that it's his fault? You know, I've experienced that, you know, in my church right here. I mean, I've experienced that. And I've seen some of the members that I had really try to make me believe that it was my fault that my wife went out and cheated on me. I mean, come on, how are you going to try to make me believe that? That's ludicrous. But you know, if you're not careful, they will succeed. And you'll start walking around with a pity party, feeling sorry for yourself. Oh, I did it. No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. You of age, you did that yourself. The blind man's parents said, he's of age. I know he was born blind, but how he see, ask him. He's of age, he can speak for himself. Hello, somebody. Job chapter 19, verse 28 says, but ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? What they're really saying, what Job is saying there, why are you trying to make Job feel like that he's guilty of something when the root of the matter is you? You're the one trying to project on Job your pernicious ways. You're trying to project on Job your evil thoughts. I talked about yesterday how that to the pure, all things are pure. You know, but to the ungodly, nothing is pure. Even their conscience is polluted and defiled. I mean, if you defile you always got to find a reason for the other person's problem. But have you ever noticed those same people that finds a reason for your problem, when it comes to theirs, they try to excuse themselves? Man, I know I'm preaching real good this morning. Y'all ain't shouting with me. Are you shouting? Yeah, I feel you shouting. Thank God for your shouts. Thank God for your shout. We need to shout this morning. We needed God. We need God. And God will do it for us if we trust him. Hello, somebody. We need to keep that confidence in God. Even though my body's deteriorating, even though I have pains, even though I'm agonized day and night, even though I'm getting all this bad news, but we still need to keep confidence in God. Listen to this. I'll be right back. Until my change comes. That's commission until my change comes. I want you to get that confidence. Your change is going to come. I'm going to wait. Stand still. Yes, Lord. Come on, saints. Let's get together here. My change is coming too. I'm gonna run, Listen, I want you to be encouraged today that your change is going to come. And don't allow people to make you feel like that you're guilty because you're going through whatever you're going through. We all experience various things. Amen. Am I guilty that I'm here? I didn't bring myself here. Amen. Don't let anybody make you feel like because you got a problem that you're the culprit there. No, Job said, no, you guys not going to make me feel like that. Job said, but you should say, why persecute we him? Seeing the root of the matter is found in you. You're the one with the evil heart, not me. And you have to have that solace in your life that you know that you've not done what people accuse you of. People with polluted minds will find all kind of fault in you if they can. But you have to be so strong in yourself and your faith that you're going to stand on the word of God and say, you know what? I just will not let that bother me. Listen, Job says this in verse 29, but ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishment of the sword, that ye may know that there is a judgment. Job said, you're not afraid of God to accuse me of doing what I haven't done? And you know what? In reality, people are not afraid of God. Well, I just read the other day what this man was the pastor of a church in Atlanta, Georgia, and he was giving people AIDS, and he knew he had AIDS. So people aren't afraid of God. Here's a man the other day, I was just reading Marriage's Music Director. He's a pastor in a church. So really, we are living in those times that there's a great falling away at the house of God. Matter of fact, I might talk about that soon, but there's a great falling away at the house of God. And people don't believe in God. They don't. They don't really believe in God. Isaiah spoke about it. You know, first he said, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We're living in a time that people don't believe in God. They're their own gods. Come on, who was it? Friedrich Nietzsche, the anti-God movement. He said, God is unquestionably dead. We killed him. We, the people, have killed him. And whether we speak about it or not, we still have that venom going around today that people do not believe that God is who he is and that God is sovereign and that God is in control of everything. I mean, no matter how we wish people would be so holy and righteous, we're not privileged to have that. You got people that are those doesn't believe in God at all. They think this is just a show. You know, but you got to have confidence. You know what confidence is? You got to have freedom from doubt. You got to believe in yourself and your ability. You got to believe in what God told you. Confidence is a state of confidence. Hopefulness that events will be favorable. You got to trust God that in the outcome it's going to be all right. You got to get that scripture that said, weeping may endure but a night, but joy comes in the morning. Because it's true. I may be going through now, but there is a morning joy. And I know some nights are longer than others, it seems. It seems like some nights are very long. And this may be one of your nights, but that doesn't mean it's all over. When it's all over, the joy is going to come. The morning is going to come. Job said, even though the worms eat my body and my flesh, but I'm going to see God. You got to know that for yourself. To know is to be cognizant, aware of a fact. You got to know that for yourself. You have to know that. Be cognizant. You got to know for yourself. You got to know that the information you have from God is accurate. You have to possess the knowledge of God of the information about what God told you. And be confident in it. You have to relax in that. You got to, you know, to always be aware of how to do. You got to be aware of what God expects for you and what God is doing for you and how to perform something. You have to be. You have to know that. Once you know that, you shouldn't worry about people. Let me read something to you in the NLT. The New Living Testament, the version of the Bible. Job chapter 19, verse 25, it says this, but as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. Job knew that, and Jesus Christ had not been incarnated. I am very fortunate that I have the Bible to go by, but Job did not have the Bible. As a matter of fact, I got saved by reading the Bible. I didn't get saved in church. I got saved by reading the Word of God, just reading the Word of God. And verse 25 from the 26 from the NLT, it says, "And after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God." Job was confident in that. And verse number 27, he said, "I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought." Job got giddy and happy just thinking about that he was going to finally meet God. My God, he was happy that he was going to meet God. And he was going through his trials and tribulation. But yet, he anticipated on meeting God. Look at verse 28. He said, "How dare you go on persecuting me, saying it's his own fault." Job said, "The nerve of you to accuse me that it's my fault? Absurd. That makes no sense. How are you going to say it's my fault that I'm suffering?" Job said, "How dare you? Constantly trying to get me to say it's my fault." Look at verse 29 from the NLT. He said, "You should feel punishment yourselves, for your attitude deserves punishment. Then you will know that there is indeed a judgment." Job said, "You should fear punishment for even having the audacity to think that it's my fault." Your attitude. You got a corrupted attitude. Do you know people that find fault in you, they got to go around with the blame? That is a corrupted attitude. Oh, my God. Listen to me. I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to finish this out. In the Message Bible, one of my ministers, Evangelist Charlene Steve Bowen, I think she's out there right now, but she always said, "This Bible here is ghetto. This is the ghetto Bible. We always can understand it." In Job chapter 19, verse 25, from the Message Bible, and Evangelist Charlene Steve Bowen said that the ghetto Bible says, "Still, I know that God lives, the one who gives me back my life, and eventually he'll take his stand on earth." Now, that's confidence, isn't it? That is right down my alley where I can understand it. Isn't that? Then it says in the next verse, it says, "And I'll see him even though I get skinned alive." Job said, even though I'm going through all this situation that I'm going through, but my confidence, I'm still going to see him. My God. Then Job says, "See God myself with my very own eyes. Oh, how I long for that day." Job was so firm in his belief that even though he was going through and had all these things following him and trying to destroy him, but Job was so confident that he got giddy over just thinking about the day that God was going to meet him face to face. My God from Zion. Look what it says in verse 20. If you're thinking, how can we get through to him, get him to see that his trouble is all his own fault? Job said, you really trying to convince me that it's my fault? I mean, you really are trying to convince me that it's my fault? Job says this, watch this. Forget it. He said, start worrying about your own selves. He said, forget it. You're not going to convince me that it's my fault. And that's the word I brought to you guys this morning. Stand on the word of God. Don't let nobody convince you that you're going through because you put yourself through it. Job said, forget it. Start worrying about yourselves. Worry about your own sins and God's coming judgment. For judgment is most certainly on the way. Job said, judgment is on the way. God will clarify this thing. My God from Zion. Saints of God, you got to be so confident in God, that you won't let nobody take your mind off the word of God, and you got to trust God regardless what anyone says. I ain't got no help in here. You got to trust God and believe that God has told you to do what you're doing and stand firm. You know, I preached a message. I wrote a book a few years ago, And one of my definition of faith is this: stand still, wait on God to bring to pass what God says, refuse to be moved by circumstances and situation, and let God do what he want to do. That's my faith. That's my definition of faith. Listen, keep in mind and listen to these announcements, and I'll be right back. I need your help to keep preaching the gospel. Don't forget tonight, we got a service plan here at 8 p.m. Let's go into announcements right now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Wake Up to Jesus broadcast, hosted by Apostle Lonnie Stocks. Coming to you from the Jesus Saves Ministry, 509 Evergreen Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. At this time, we would like to invite you to become partners with us, both with your prayers and your finances, so we can continue to preach the gospel. Partner with us with just a $1 a day donation. We are a 501c3 organization, so all donations are tax exempt. You can donate three ways. One, send correspondence via mail to 509 Evergreen Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. Or call us at 718-574-2244. Lastly, via our website at www.tjsm.org. We can accept check, Visa, Master, Discover, or American Express cards. We can also accept PayPal via our website. Thank you in advance for your support of the ministry as we continue to spread the gospel across the world.
For all your funeral needs, call Interboro Funeral Service at 718-452-0101. It's located at 544 Evergreen Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. The funeral director is Mr. Manny Spout. Tell him you heard about them at the Wake Up to Jesus broadcast.
Purchase your first home with a very small down payment. This is the time. Interest rates are historically low before it's too late. Call Jimmy Smith at 917-330-4811. We're conveniently located at 1928 Fulton Street near Ralph Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11233. Home Market Realty. Our hours of operation are Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Again, call Jimmy Smith, 917-330-4811, and tell him you heard it here at the Wake Up to Jesus broadcast.
Yes, don't forget that. Yes, keep those announcements in mind. Listen, I want you to remember today, Wednesday, yes, today, this evening at 8 p.m. here at the church, I have a special service. I want you to come on by. You that's in the metropolitan area here at the Jesus Haven Ministry, 509 Evergreen Avenue. We got a special service planned for you tonight. I'm going to be praying and laying hands on the sick, and I'm going to be calling those things that aren't as though they are. Now, you that's got your computer home that you're not here, you can be able to view this service tonight on livestream.com/TJSMORG, or on my website, www.TJSMORG. Click on Jesus Save Around the Clock, and we'll be on tonight at 8 p.m. And don't forget, this morning at 7 a.m., we got a one-hour service right here on blogtalkradio.com/TJSM. And then at 11 a.m. today, we have service another program on blogtalkradio.com/TJSM. And don't forget, at 12 noon today, if you're anywhere in the metropolitan area, we have noonday prayer today. Every Wednesday, noonday prayer. And we're looking forward to it, so we invite you to come by and be a part of these services. Remember, on this evening, yes, today, special service, at 8 p.m. tonight, today, this evening, right here at the Jesus Haven Ministry, 509 Evergreen Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. Also, I'm going to tell you about that tomorrow, but I'm going to be preaching out on Friday night at one of my friends' church here in Brooklyn, and we'll give you the address. I don't want to confuse you with it right now, but I'll be preaching out on this Friday night. But I love you this morning. I praise God for you, and I hope you understood what I tried to get you to understand today, and that is simply that God is on your side, and you don't have to believe what people say, because people will have you so distraught that you know what? You'll be giving up. You already know why you gave up. You'll be giving up and say, well, why are you? I don't know. She made it. No, don't let anyone do that. Don't let people, you know, disrupt you and cause you to give up. Hold on to your integrity. God is going to bring you out. God's going to deliver you. I've been saved 38 years. 38 years. I've been saved more years than some of y'all even born and aged. And that's not criticism. It's just I'm grateful to God that he kept me these 38 years. But I'm telling you, if God has kept me 38 years, all the things I've been through, he will keep you. He will keep you, yes. I'm working on my 39th year now, and I pastored for 30 years already. May will be 31 years, 31 years. God has kept me. He's always taken care of me. I've never wanted, I've never, you know, been out hungry. God has always made a way, and he'll do the same thing for you. Even though people may look at you and say you're not going to make it, but listen, you don't walk by what they say. I think you walk by faith in the word of God. God's word is awesome. God's word got all power. God's word will bring to pass exactly what he said. Now listen, to you that aren't saved, I want you to give your life to Jesus, because this is the best life I've ever lived in my life. I got saved late. I say late. I was 30 years old, 31 years old, when the Lord came into my life. And it's amazing, you know. And I'm so grateful that he did. And I'm grateful because it's just a wonderful journey. So a great walk. And there's no one that will treat you better than Jesus. So if you're not saved today, please get ready to give your life to Jesus. Listen to this and make a decision today. You can write me. I got some free material that I'll give you in Jesus' name. Listen. Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. It's so simple to come to him and to be born again. All you have to do is repent of your sins. Confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus Christ from the grave and believe this in your heart. You can be saved. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, the word of God says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Could I pray with you this morning, this afternoon, wherever you are, whatever time of day you may be listening to this? Let's pray. Bow your heads with me if you can. Dear God, our Father, I acknowledge my wrong and my sin. I ask you to forgive me. I do believe that your son Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect life, was crucified, buried in a borrowed tomb, rose from the grave on the third day with all power. Now I believe that, Father, in my heart. Save me now in Jesus' name. My friend, if you believe that, you are saved. Keep it locked right here.
Tell you, if you only try, he'll change your life. Blind Bartimaeus will tell you, if you only trust him, he'll restore to your sight. Only trust him now. We're waiting for you all over the building. If you're not a part of a local church, if you haven't submitted to believer's baptism, if you're on the outside looking in, tonight is your opportunity to surrender, to submit, to experience the change you've been waiting for, the breakthrough, the deliverance that you so desperately need. Tonight is your night. Now is the time to come to Jesus. Would you come? Would you come? Wherever you are.
Well, praise you, my friend. God bless you. We're coming to the end of the road. We got to go. I never want to leave you without leaving you in the hands of the Lord Jesus. Remember, God loves you and I do too. You take care in Jesus' name.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.